We do thank the Lord so much for being gifted to be born in a country that is free to worship Him and follow Him 100%. And when the 4th of July comes along and other national holidays, I thank God for the opportunity to serve Him in this land. And it was in this land I heard the gospel and have a chance to pass the gospel on to other lands. And I think looking at our nation as being blessed, one blessing upon another, that came from Christ. And the first blessing you might say is thanking the Lord for the nation. And that's a blessing of common grace that He would give to everyone who was born here. But then the blessing of special grace, the opportunity to know Christ as a gift and to have freedom in our hearts. When I hear patriotic songs that give thanks to God, I do have chills up and down my spine and thank the Lord for many, many blessings. And yet, when I think of Christ, I often, when I see fireworks, I say, well, those fireworks should be for Him especially. See, for the Lord, who would give His life as a ransom for many. And so as you have patriotic thoughts and commitments this week, just triple those and quadruple those and give great thanks to God for the freedom that He brings us in Christ. And that's a freedom that lasts forever. We thank the Lord for that. If you were to compare religions across our world, one would shine out like a light shining in the darkness, and that would be Christ standing as the light of the world. He said He was the light of the world. If anybody would follow Him, they would not walk in darkness, but would have the light of life. And so, even in looking at the world itself, someone was asked once, what makes being a Christian different than all other world religions? It would be Christ and His grace. The grace as a gift of God, that He would come to us as a gift. That's what C.S. Lewis said made being a Christian different from being a Muslim or a Buddhist or whatever Jewish person. The focus on the Messiah who has come to make us be at peace with God. And so the Bible says, from the fullness of Christ's grace, we have all received one gift after another. And just to focus in on that this morning is the gift of God for you today. Back in September, I was wandering around Barnes & Noble bookstore and ran across another Alliance pastor there. I'm checking out this one book called The Ragamuffin Gospel. And I looked at it for a minute, put it back on the shelf, and he said, that book is a great book. He said, besides the Bible, it's the best book on the grace of God that I had ever read. So I thought, wow, that's good. I didn't buy it right away. But I went home, I looked up the word ragamuffin, had to know what I was buying, and it means a dirty, ragged person. The ragamuffin gospel. I guess that would mean good news for dirty, ragged folk. So I think, well, maybe that book, the Lord wants me to get that book. So I bought the book, and it really does focus in on some scripture that helps us see Christ as a gift and the grace of God as the gift from Him. And in that book, this fellow named Brennan Manning, who wrote the book, says, you know, grace is for everybody, but sometimes we keep ourselves from experiencing the gift by what we do to ourselves. So he makes a little contrast at the beginning of the book that I want to share with you because I think it's helpful. He says, the gift is not for the super spiritual. The gift is not for those who are strong on their own or who would feel fearless. The gift is not for people who only live on the mountaintop and never in the valley of despair. The gift is not for the highly committed religious person who says, like the rich young ruler in the Gospels, all the commandments I have kept from my youth. The gift is not for those who, or rather, the gift is not for those who surrender their lives to just rules and not to a living Savior who they could live in union with and get to know. And then he contrasts who the gift is for, the gift of Christ and heart positions that were more likely to receive God's grace and His gift. He says these things. The gift is for those who are beat up and burned out. The gift is for those carrying heavy burdens and fall beneath the weight of them. And this is a good one. The gift is for inconsistent, unsteady disciples whose cheese is falling off their cracker. The gift is for weak and sinful people with hereditary sins and personal sins. The gift is for earthen vessels who shuffle along with clay feet, bent and bruised, fearing and sad that God is so disappointed in them. Well, it's by grace we have been saved through faith. This is the gift of God. And one blessing that the Lord's grace brings is first to our own hearts and frees us from our own sense of being apart from God or having a contempt for ourselves. You know, when we turn to Christ, we sense He is holy and loving. And the deepest sense of who we are not that way. We are not holy and loving. So to know the gift and not to turn away from Christ with self-contempt or just to go on a self-improvement venture. Grace frees us from self-content. We often don't know what to do with our real guilt, so we hit ourselves over the head with it, you might say. Condemn ourselves, say, I'm no good, I'm disgusted with myself, so God must be disgusted with me. I had a teacher in second grade who was a wonderful teacher, taught us all many important elementary truths, multiplication tables, spelling, even learned how to love to read from her. And she had a saying that she repeated to us throughout the year and repeated to me sometimes personally. And the saying was, straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Heard that about 200 times that year. And I thought, I think I know what she means, but I can't seem to pull it off. If I could go back to the teacher who's a wonderful teacher and was pointing me in the right direction and say to her, you know, ma'am, after 42 years, I'm still trying to straighten up and fly right. And it doesn't seem to work. I can't seem to do that. But the grace of God frees us from that dead-end street, frees us from self-contempt, lets us confess that we're a sinner. Let us confess before God, you know, without Christ's intervention, we're unloving and irritable and unfair even to the nearest and dearest people to us in our life. And we approach God in our walk or at communion time or any time we recognize our relationship with Him. We approach Him, we take our halo off. We come to church, we take our white hat off at the door and checking in the cloakroom. And we say, I need God's grace as a gift so I can fly differently. And to know that God loves us as we are, not as we should be. Not as we should be. Because the Bible does teach us that this side of heaven, none of us will be as we should be. So He loves us right at this moment. And it frees us from self-contempt or self-congratulations. Should we compare ourselves favorably to one of our fellow sinners? The gift of God. Life forever with Jesus. The second gift that grace brings is the gift of freeing us from contempt for others. Or maybe of jealousy toward their spiritual health. Once during a communion time, the place was very filled with people to worship. And it was at an old Baptist church where in the back pew, one of the oldest and most faithful church members was seated along with another person who was a visitor. The visitor seemed confused, didn't know the songs, didn't know much about the scripture to follow, and just was there. And time came for communion, and being a place that was filled with people, wouldn't you know it, there was more people than there was bread to be passed out. So as the plate went to the final pew and came to the man who had been just a dear faithful member of the church for so long, following Christ. He looked at the bread and the plate. He looked at the man beside him, who obviously communion was very different for him, to say the least. And he thought, you know, what do I do? This communion is for me. It's set apart for those who follow Christ. And then he thought, well, I've kind of earned the right to participate. I'm going to participate, and this man can come back next month when he straightens it out with the Lord there. Then he thought, no, I better not. I'll give him the bread and say, you know, trust the Lord. And maybe through that he would put his faith in Christ. He needs the Lord a lot more than I do. He began to think. He said, no, that's not right either. All this is going on as, you know, the Spirit speaks to him. So he takes the plate and the bread, and he takes the bread and breaks it in half, just two equal pieces there. And he takes one for himself and offers. He offers the bread to the man. And he says to the man, just a word of testimony, I need Jesus just like you do. I need Jesus just like you do. As he would remember at communion Christ's death on his behalf and on the man's behalf. And Christ would free us from contempt of others, concern for others that the Lord would have, but not contempt for a person reaching out for the grace of God. It's been said that the church can be one of two things in our ministries as overall themes. We could be a museum for saints, or we could be a hospital for sinners. And really every believer takes on that cloak in terms of the calling of our lives, or every family, every church family. If we're a museum for saints, people will come in and out, admire whatever is appearing to happen, and then leave, temporarily inspired, but a life certainly not changed. But if a person or a family or a church is a hospital for sinners, many lives changed and many lives helped because the grace of God comes. And I sense your heart being a heart of a hospital for sinners. And remember, Jesus said he came for those who were not well. He didn't come for the healthy. So the grace of God frees us from contempt for others, and we become a vessel of his grace, thankful to him for what he did. And then the grace of God frees us to obey God. We get to obey him. I like this part of God's grace, often neglected, I think, when we think of grace. An opportunity to meet Christ and to be at peace with him. But grace also sets us on the right path. Does what my second grade teacher wanted to have happen for me. Reminds us that we are God's workmanship. And with grace, I get to obey God, something I was very reluctant to do and needed to be harped upon about in most of my days. Once a child was having a talk with his father before bedtime. This was in the summertime when days were carefree. There was responsibilities, but there was a real zest in living. And the little child said, you know, Dad, I can't figure it out. In the summertime, I get up before 7 o'clock. I feel energetic. I'm ready to go. I want to do things. And that's because I get to be on vacation. But during school year, during those 9 months of school year, I want to sleep till 7:30, 8 o'clock. I don't want to get out of bed. It's because I have to go to school. He says, why is that so different? Then he said, I think I know why. Have to go to school. Shook his head and said, bad motivation. Bad motivation. Have to go to school. So often in our relationship with Christ, what we think we hear and what we tell one another, we give a lot of have-tos. You have to obey God. You have to obey God. You straighten up and fly right. And we're frozen with that, without help from the Lord himself. But the grace of God appears, the Bible says in Titus chapter 2. It appears to teach us to say no to godliness and to make us a people clean and eager to do good work. And in my own walk with Christ, if I could share in a very personal way, even the good things of the Christian life that I think are a gift from God to me and you, whether it's participation in the Lord's Supper, or singing to the Lord, or witnessing, or whatever other ministry the Lord calls me to, the minute I, to my own heart, or another person says, you have to, I feel like I am stuck again, not wanting to, or not being able to, at least that much in my own heart. But when I want to obey God, there seems to be nothing that God has provided better than Christ Himself, and Himself as a gift that would teach me from the inside out to say no to what's wrong and to be eager to want to obey God in every way. And just let the Holy Spirit speak to you in that manner. Our level of obedience is really equal to the thanks we have and the embrace we have of the gift, the grace of God in Christ. If you struggle with the level of obedience, you got two choices to make. You can get some more have-tos on your list and go for it. And just carry that burden around, and the results, I think, will be very self-apparent. Or you could turn to the gift of Christ and say, Lord, I know what you could do. You could help me be eager to please you in every way. Give me that heart of trust and obedience to you, that the grace of God would free us to want to obey God. As one preacher said, the law would detect sin, but grace corrects sin and brings a want to our heart. And if you know God is calling you in your heart for eager, enthusiastic obedience, that's the Greek word of that word, eager. Eager, enthusiastic obedience to God. Would you embrace Christ again as a gift to you? And say, I've never even wanted to obey God very much. But with Christ, now I want to. And Jesus would teach us that. If we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. We'll be glad for the grace of God. Might the grace of God continue to change us as His people. Pass on that gift to others. So we do pass on the good news of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we approach the communion table this morning, and the Lord, Holy Spirit, helps you examine yourself in regards to Christ and you. Don't examine anybody else. Christ and you. Might the gift of who the Lord is help you approach with a hungry, thankful heart, a heart eager to trust and obey Him. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for coming to us as a gift, that from the fullness of yourself, we have all received one blessing after another. Even this time here with you, Lord, in communion is a gift, certainly undeserved and unmerited in every sense. And so we come trusting yourself, not trusting in our own works or righteousness. Help us, our focus, to be upon you as you serve behind the scenes, the bread and the cup, pointing us to Calvary, pointing us to rising from the dead, your shed blood for the forgiveness of sins at Calvary, and then pointing us to your coming again. Jesus, we hold before you people who have special needs among us, for those who hurt physically, Lord, just like you'd be a gift of a Savior, be a gift of healer to them for physical difficulties. Help those fighting cancer to overcome with your help. Help those who hurt emotionally, Father, to claim you as their peace. Give that rest only you could give. For those struggling spiritually, and we'd all raise our hands on that one, we would become a disciple who turns to you in the midst of our own inconsistency and slowness to learn. We thank you. We could trust you. Thank you for doing good things for folks in the fellowship, for being grace to Carol Kamaker this week as she was spared surgery, and for others who need your help today, be a blessing. Thank you for our nation, for those who serve in the military. Might the word of Christ strengthen them today. And Father, as many have written, the world waits for the repentance of the church to show the way to the light, who is Christ. Might we pass on your gospel that the salt and light could occur in our calls this week. And bless us in this time of communion with yourself. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul as he speaks of the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Amen. You're invited to trust Christ with all your heart for salvation. And for today, just say, "Jesus, be my Lord in my heart." And as you take the bread and cup, that gives thanks to God for what he has done for us at Calvary and what he has done for us by coming into our lives. And come at his invitation as God leads.